actually records anything anymore. Even DVRs are becoming a thing of the past. Well, over the course of nearly three decades, there was a woman in Philadelphia who taped CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, as well as programs on other networks, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Marion Stokes, a former communist activist turned recluse who died in 2012, recorded over 70,000 beta and VHS tapes that are now being recognized as a treasure trove chronicling recent American history. Her recordings have been acquired by the Internet Archive in Richmond, California. It is truly a fascinating story that's being told in a new film called Recorder, The Marion Stokes Project. And director Matt Wolf joins us from New York. Matt, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us from WHYY is Marion Stokes' son, Michael Medelitz. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So I'll start with you, Matt. What got you first interested in Marion's story?
Well, the Internet Archive acquired Marion's huge collection of 70,000 tapes. And when those tapes were shipped from Philadelphia to the Bay Area, there was some initial press. And I read about the story, and I make films with archival footage, lots of archival footage, but this was unprecedented. It felt like an archive that could include anything and everything, and that challenge and that possibility really appealed to me. So through some mutual contacts, I found Michael and went down to Philadelphia and met with him and with Frank Heilman, Marion's assistant and secretary at that time. And we started to have a conversation, and I quickly realized that this wasn't just a story about an unprecedented archive. It was also an emotionally intense family story about a really unique and singular visionary.
Michael, I want to talk more about your mother as that visionary. She started recording at really the birth of the 24-hour news cycle. What are your memories of how this taping process worked?
Well, it kind of grew over time. We began with the Nightline series that Ted Koppel was running on the Iranian hostage crisis. And as the 24-hour news cycle grew out of that story and her fascination with capturing the evolution of these stories grew, watching the Iranian hostage crisis story shift and change and evolve over time, her taping expanded and expanded. And as CNN came on stream and the other 24-hour channels, she really felt that this was an important contributor to public opinion and an important lens through which people would view current events. And she wanted to capture it.
It's really fascinating to see the video. I just saw a couple of clips from the film where we see a young Kellyanne Conway as a CNN political analyst and Jeff Sessions and all of these people that we're seeing now in the middle of the news cycle, also in the news cycle back then. But your mother had also been on television herself on a program called Input. It was an issues-oriented discussion program. Let's listen to a little.
You talked about faith in the democratic process. You know, when people are killed on the courthouse steps, for going up to register to vote, how can you expect Black people to have faith in the democratic process? If you want us to have faith in the democratic process, make it work.
I mentioned how your mom was a former communist, and I heard you say that these tapings, Michael, were really a form of activism for her. Tell us a little bit about who your mom was.
There was a tension between her personal privacy and the way that she kind of withdrew from public life and organizing demonstrations, which she had done quite a lot in the 60s, and withdrew from that mostly for sort of personal fears. But also her sense of responsibility and her sense of trying to preserve this information in order to inform people's understanding of events. So there's a real tension and a whipsaw there, and she would want to capture everything and she would want people to know about it, but she was extremely secretive about her project and extremely secretive about the details of it. As you might imagine, somebody with, six or seven video cassette recorders going at one time and people moving and changing tapes, she could be quite controlling. And her, visionary and generous aspect, which was kind of counterpoised with what could be a very controlling and in times very petty kind of power-driven personality.
How did this spill over into how she dealt with you, her son?
Well, she was a strong personality, and I also have a strong personality, and that didn't always work so well. There were long periods where we were out of contact. As an adolescent, I was probably a bit more rebellious even than many, and rebelling against circumstances that I felt were a little over-controlling. So we had a very, very troubled relationship, probably from the time I was about 10 or 11 until about a month or two before she died. Well, more about 5 or 6 months before she died. So it had its difficult sides, and I think we both contributed to that.
Matt, you mentioned Frank Heilman, who became Marion's secretary. He described his impression of the apartment that she and her husband lived in. Let's listen.
They had enormous amount of furniture and archives, magazines, books. She read about 11 newspapers a day, and I don't think she ever threw one out.
Wow. Matt, in spending time with this story, have you thought about the line between hoarding and collecting, and have you come to any conclusion about that?
Yeah, when I was making the film, it was really important to me to not pathologize Marion as some sort of amateur historian hoarder, but to really respect that there was political conviction and insight into the project that she was pursuing, but also to recognize that with that vision was also a certain level of dysfunction, and that dysfunction and insight can coexist. But Michael says, I think very aptly in the film, that oftentimes different people assign different types of value to things. And if it's valuable to someone, then it's collecting. And if it's not, then it's hoarding. And a television scholar, Lynn Spiegel, also says in the film that oftentimes women, let alone women of color, are discounted and excluded from official institutions. So when someone like Marion pursued this project on her own privately, of course it was discounted, but other institutions wouldn't have necessarily seen value in what she was doing, despite the fact that networks were discarding their archives for decades.
Mm-hmm. Matt, in putting together this film, how much of the tapes do you think you've seen?
Well, Marion recorded over 70,000 tapes, and we developed a pretty complex system to index the collection and to identify what was in there, and I created an unconventional timeline to choose kind of selects from this monumental body of material. And in the end, I only digitized 100 of 70,000 tapes, but Marion recorded on extended play. So these tapes were between 6 and 8 hours long. So it was over 700 hours of material, but just a tiny scratch into the surface of what's there.
She was taping constantly on multiple channels. And there's an extraordinary scene in your film, Matt, where we see 4 television screens playing morning shows on September 11th. And then one by one, they cover the planes hitting the World Trade Center. But we can see it happening in real time. And it really reminds us what historical value Marion's archive has. As you mentioned, I once worked in television for many, many years. And I do often think about the archives that we had and how they are just destroyed. They're nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and I think something that's really unique about Marion's collection is that it's not just the news that she captured. It's the commercials, the public service announcements, the talk shows, the sitcoms. It's what we might call the flow of television across multiple networks. And of course, that material truly doesn't exist anywhere. It has so many different rights holders, and it's in some ways the detritus of popular culture, but it tells us so much about who we were and how the world became what it is today. And so that kind of information and insight into who we are, it doesn't exist except in a collection like this.
Mm-hmm. Michael, what do you think your mother would have thought about this project and this documentary?
Probably mixed feelings. Again, as I say, she was extremely private. Virtually no one knew that she was doing this. She would get the tapes delivered in black bin bags. She would have them removed from the apartment at times that people wouldn't know. And on the other hand, towards the end of her life, when I was encouraging her to open up to my children so that they could develop a better relationship with her and a deeper one, she asked me specifically one night, well, who's going to be able to tell my story? Mm. So, every time I chat with Matt, I'm reminded of how fortunate I am that I found somebody who actually could tell that story and tell it in a really holistic way.
Mm. Matt, you've spent so much time with this material, so much time in Marion's life. What do you take away from it, not only as a documentary filmmaker, but just as someone who now has this deeper understanding maybe of an archive, a look at history that we didn't have before?
There's just this deluge of information that washes over us. There's so many kind of faces and events and catastrophes that are completely forgotten. But at the same time, so much of history and so many of the patterns of our society and politics repeat themselves. So in so many ways, as much as This process of making the film was about diving into the past and finding artifacts with resonance today. It was about looking into the future. And I think Marian was a real futurist. And by preserving the past, she was helping people to see information and patterns and details that might anticipate where we are going today. And of course, now in this era of so-called fake news, Marian's project has a kind of enhanced urgency because it's clearer and clearer that public opinion is being shaped by the predilections of those who produce the news and furthermore, who produce history. And she was concerned about that and she did something about it. So if anything, it provides some insight about the future, but I think it also is an incredible model about doing something to protect the truth, which is under attack more than it ever has been before.
We've been talking about the new film, Recorder, the Marian Stokes Project, with director Matt Wolfe and Marian Stokes' son, Michael Medelitz. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.